Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702 for the curious.
It's 7:35. Thank you so much to the EWN team for that news as well as that sports update. In this hour, we are talking sustainability of the mining sector, and I'll tell you why this comes to mind. All eyes will be on the Mineral Resources and Energy Minister Gwede Mandasha this week as the Investing in African Mining Indaba 2020 kicks off in Cape Town from the 3rd, that's tomorrow, to the 6th of Feb. Now, there have been a few concerns and matters raised by players in the industry, and you'll have heard over the week that there were some calls from an NGO calling on government essentially to decriminalize artisanal mining, I guess, or illegal miners in South Africa in order to kickstart the economy in some way and to, you know, give people legal employment opportunities. But, you know, the issue of sustainability of the mining industry as a whole will also come under the spotlight. Perhaps maybe if you put on your imaginary advisor cap to the Minister Mandashe, perhaps you want to send in some SMSs on 31702 and just give him some ideas on what his main priorities should be as he gives, you know, as he attends the Investing in African Mining Indaba that takes place this week. So to that end, I thought it would be nice to have a conversation with a mining law specialist right down the road here at ENS Africa, Ntsiki Adonise Khame, and welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Ntsiki. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Good morning, Lucille, and good morning to your listeners. Thanks for having me on your show.
Always a pleasure, Ntsiki. And, you know, the mining Indaba is a huge event on the sort of corporate and mining calendar in South Africa. And it essentially sets the tone for what the mining industry can expect and business can expect over the year. You guys will also be there, of course, because as I've introduced you, you are a mining law specialist at ENS Africa. And you're really, really placed in the prime position to help us unpack Action Aid SA's call that they put out this week, which was for government to decriminalize illegal miners or Zamazama miners, mining rather, in the country in order to deal with the country's worsening unemployment and even environmental crisis. And I was keen and curious because the first time I heard the headline or listened to the headline on the radio, I was like, well, surely it's not that easy. Mining is an expensive endeavor. It is a dangerous endeavor as well. But I mean, specifically, they were talking specifically gold mining, right? And I'm interested from a legal perspective, what would go into creating a framework for Zamazamas and illegal miners to essentially become artisanal miners as they're known once they've been formalized and legalized?
The artisanal mining industry or sector mm-hmm. has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think when the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, which is the primary statute that governs the mining industry in South Africa, when they looked at the white paper, they were aware that, you know, the artisanal small-scale miners would contribute positively in the national and provincial local economy.
Mm-hmm.
So the regulators then included a section 27, which is really for small-scale miners.
Okay.
But if you look at the research that has been done, artisanal miners is a one-person or group of five people just mining using basic tools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as we get into the report, I mean, it explains that the problem is that that is not catered for in a legal framework.
Yeah.
Because for small-scale miners, you still need to show technical ability, financial ability,
uh-huh.
and you still have to do your environmental study.
Okay.
And as a research student, most of the people there don't even have the trick or the resources to do that.
Yeah.
So my view is that we need a legal reform
mm-hmm.
in SA. We need to engage with all stakeholders to understand the artisanal mining sector.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we have seen the other countries that have artisanal miners. If you look at Ghana, for instance, Ghana in its regulatory framework makes provision for small-scale miners, but they're limited to being, you have to be a Ghanaian, you have to be 18 years and older. Mm-hmm. It can be an individual, five people, a cooperative, a company. We don't have that in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to have to be an engagement with all stakeholders, and a policy will have to be drawn up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know the DMR has already started, and it has a directorate for small-scale mining,
yeah,
which was sought to offer assistance to the artisanal mining operators.
Yeah. And how effective or how engaged has that directorate actually been since it was established? Because you've touched on those barriers to entry, right? Those possible and really imminent barriers to entry for small-scale mines, which you touched on, you know, access to mineral rights, first of all, access to capital, yes, and yes, most fundamentally, I think, access to markets and skills.
Yeah. So, I mean, they tried with the Northern Cape, where they gave artisanal miners licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really work out because there's no legal framework supporting that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't give licenses where you can't regulate,
yeah,
for the specific industry. I mean, there's got, if you look at the report, I'm just going back to the ActionAid report.
Yeah.
One of the major things there is also lack of recognition.
Yeah.
Because the statute itself doesn't recognize them. And there's poor market access.
Yeah.
And as you know, there's adverse impact on health, safety, and environment, and the economy. There's loss of lives.
Absolutely.
Murders and killings, criminal activities. So we need a holistic approach, which, yeah, will include all industry players,
yeah,
to make this work.
So, I mean, very,
and from a legal perspective,
yeah,
legal reform is definitely required. So we need to amend our laws to cater for the artisanal mining sector.
Mm. So, I mean, you know, quite an enterprising and interesting report there coming from ActionAid, but definitely as a big and a long-term project from what you've underlined for us, yeah?
Yeah, definitely going to take longer, but yeah, at least there's a step.
Yeah, I mean,
taking the first step.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, when the minerals and when Minister Mandashe in 2008 basically outlined just how big the number is, right, of money that's lost through illicit precious metal trading. He, I think, it was a figure of about 41 billion rand that he underlined. So the opportunity is actually big. The opportunity is one that we could look at seriously and actually entertain. But it's going to be a very, very huge project. Generally, Ntsiki, and you know, from your own legal background and working, if we were serious as a country about this and we were to take on board the reports, the findings of this report and the suggestions from this report, how long time-wise does a project like this, including setting up and creating the legal framework and that holistic approach that you've touched on, what are we looking at time-wise to make this and turn this into reality, were we to take it on board?
I don't see it taking less than 2 years.
Mm.
And it's urgent because, I mean, illegal mining, like you touched on it, takes away from revenue.
Yeah.
You know, we lose out on tax. We have health and safety issues. Every time mining companies close and fence off the holdings, they're then reopened because the artisanal miners also tend concentrate on abandoned mines, mm-hmm, or where they've been closed mines.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that takes out money again because the mining companies need to be refunding closing those holdings, etc.
All right, fantastic. Now, sort of pivoting and looking now at the mining endeavor, which kicks off tomorrow. In the last Fraser Institute annual survey of mining companies, South Africa had improved its investment attractiveness and policy perception scores. But are we still sort of ranking in the bottom half of, you know, favored mining jurisdictions? How are we looking from a global perspective? How are we being viewed, and how competitive are we?
If I look at the last Fraser Institute, I think we're 45 out of 83 countries with, you know, the country to invest. I mean, we've got our own constraints. I mean, if you look at power, for instance, at Eskom,
100%.
The economy hasn't been great. Mm. High numbers of unemployment. But mining is still the mainstay of the South African economy.
Yeah.
And we have to make it work.
Mm. Well, carry on.
Yeah.
No, carry on. Again, interrupted you.
Okay, so I was just saying we just need to come with innovative ways of making it work.
Mm.
And with this sustainability come new technologies that can be used. So, you know, there's no labor-intensive but more mechanized ways of mining, looking at renewable energy
mm-hmm.
as alternative sources of power.
Yeah.
But that also has hurdles. I think the Minerals Council spoke about it, because you still need your permits from NESA,
mm-hmm.
Agreement with Eskom. So it's not like you can just go to a mine and start with the alternative power.
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously, industry experts, the industry is going to expect Minister Mandashe to announce measures, right, to touching on power, on energy, to allow mining companies to start generating their own power. And what are the considerations that will go into the mining industry producing its own power? Where's the industry looking at and focusing, how is the industry looking to achieve this end?
Yeah, so the industry, I mean, there's been pilot projects. I think Goldfields is one of them, and Anglo.
Yeah.
Looking at, like, solar power alternatives,
mm-hmm.
Where they're generating their own power. But like I said, it also needs approvals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think where it gets stuck, it's still waiting for the regulator to give the approvals.
All right, fantastic. And I guess that would also mean that essentially mining companies would no longer have to purchase or buy electricity exclusively from Eskom.
Yes, which will be great, because then it will decrease the dependence on Eskom.
Mm, really, really interesting stuff. And, you know, back to the point of sustainability and mining then becoming a profitable endeavor for mining companies well into the future. Where are we in terms of technological innovation to mechanize mining more, as you were alluded to earlier on? Because I guess, you know, if you're looking at things from a labor and union perspective, the idea or the threat of mechanization is one that must absolutely horrify you. But, you know, if you're looking at it from an industry sustainability perspective, the benefits can be huge. Where are we as a country in terms of innovation?
As a country, we're still lagging behind.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the global mining industry, but we are making efforts. I mean, there are mining companies who have started engaging in looking at new ways of mining.
Mm-hmm.
But with digital transformation, it will bring new jobs. It will also lead to different jobs from
different
what we have today.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely different. So I know there's always, if we digitalize or mechanize, it means there's going to be high unemployment rates. But the reality is the mining industry, especially in South Africa, mm-hmm. we're moving from a deep level mining, because the deeper you mine, the more capital you require.
Yeah.
So now mines are moving to a mechanized, shallower technology advanced ways.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously this will also impact on the socioeconomic, on the communities around the mine.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to jobs. But, I mean, it's all about training. We'll have to upskill the current labor force.
Yeah.
To do work, but differently. And yeah. This will also contribute to safer mining methods.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, this is, we're having a bit of a more of a sort of blue sky discussion in that regard, you know.
Yes.
And it's always easier said than done. In reality, often contradicts the kind of conversations that we're having. But from an environmental perspective, is there any sense that we'll hear that the Department of Minerals and Resources will actually strengthen environmental compliance? Because that's been a huge and ongoing issue for years. Now?
Yes, I think they've actually worked on that. They tried to align, you know, the two ministries with the Minister Mandase and the Environmental Department.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the industry, we are looking at climate change.
Yeah.
And climate change is going to impact all mining operations.
Mm.
For instance, water is critical for mining. You know, you need it for your daily mining operations,
yeah.
Crushing, tailing storage and that. And with us experiencing droughts, that has a direct impact on mining operations. It also includes health and safety of the employees, because with climate change,
mm-hmm.
we deal with new diseases.
Yeah.
And it affects the workforce. So I think, like I said before, we need a holistic approach on dealing with the mining industry. So
yeah.
From your environmental, regulatory, and making sure that the industry has enough support, if mm-hmm. I can put it that way, mm-hmm. from the government as well.
Yeah.
And all the industry players.
Yeah. I mean, you've just brought up climate change, which is, of course, key and pivotal, and more and more features in conversations across society, right? In terms of mining, how much of a worry is, or how much space is our conversations around climate and climate change taking up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was also one of the topics we touched on last year at the Joburg Indaba.
Yeah.
Climate change is real, because where mining operations are situated, they will be most affected.
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't rain, you need water.
Yeah.
Like I said, so drought is going to affect you. If there's hot, you can't work in very hot conditions. And in the hot climate area conditions, you also have, you're prone to diseases as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it impacts directly on the mining industry, and the industry has to look at ways of reducing the carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. And having new ways, and this is the technology that I'm referring to. Of mining.
All right. 100%.
In 2020 and beyond.
All right. Ntsiki Adonisekgame, mining law specialist at ENS Africa. Thank you so much for your time this morning and helping us sort of look to and unpack some of the issues, the agenda issues that will be featuring at the Mining Indaba this week. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You have yourself a good one, Ntsiki. Thank you.